KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosky Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosky Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. I've got Justin, Deneen, Matt, and Crystal, the Awaken Church team. Now, we're missing Chris and Antoinette, but hey, what can we do?
Well, at least you got two-thirds of it, so
we
that's
got
okay.
Two-thirds of it. Awaken Church, what a cool thing. Let's talk about the latest and greatest, Matt. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, we've been excited to see, honestly, some new faces. We've been praying and that God would be reaching the unchurched, the de-church, maybe those who are men who have been hurt by church.
Absolutely.
And God has been answering that call very clearly. Was able to have some coffee with some people who joined us for the first time this past Sunday. And then we had coffee on Monday and just talked about where they were at. And then we got things coming up like Show Up Saturday. We're going to be partnering up, with another orphanage. I think that's this week, this next coming week. And just two opportunities just to serve people, just to love them well. We had a great turnout. Lucy, she's like our missions director. She's been doing a great job with her and her team, just reaching out the community. We had, some orphanages come into the MAC and we just had a fun day, got to love on them, share the gospel. Got them brand new shoes and a brand new Bible just to say, hey, every time you see these shoes or every time you see this Bible, know that you are extremely loved. So.
Yeah, and Awaken Church is meeting in the afternoons on Sundays at the MAC, McDermott Center.
Well, kind of big news there.
Big example, Justin will tell you.
Yeah, we actually had the opportunity to move to morning services. We started in the afternoon to try to reach a different kind of group of people, and we had the opportunity there. But through prayer, we just really felt like, man, I think the mornings is – where it's at. So we moved to a 9 a.m. and an 11 a.m. service now instead of the afternoons, but we're still at the MAC.
Yeah.
I better call some people that I told about your church because I told them it's in the afternoon. So,
well, hey, they can still show up and go ice skating. I know Terry and Mike would love to have them there. There's ice skating, baseball, basketball. They can kind of just come, and it's a cool family environment if you're ever up there.
Well, and I want everybody to know about you all is you are all workout people. And you like not just working out in the Word and talking to people and living life with other people, but you also like to get healthy and stay active and cross-training. And I tease Matt about that stuff all the time. Are you a workout maniac too, Justin?
I went through a season in life where I really was. I'm trying to get back into it. I think young kids kind of distract you from that a little bit, or they can.
Yeah. How many kids do you guys have?
We have three kids. We've got a teenage boy, a toddler girl, and a girl who I guess is technically a toddler now. She's grown up. She's about a year and a half.
That's what happens. They grow up really fast, and you got to enjoy every minute of it. I have five children, all grown up. My youngest is 21, and I just miss them.
Yeah.
You know, I miss the little ones.
Well, Deneen has four kids. Justin has three.
Sometimes it feels that way.
Point well taken. So you're meeting at the McDermott Center, for people that don't know, Cross Streets, Northern Boulevard and
Northern and Loma.
And Loma.
Loma, Colorado.
Loma, Colorado.
So it's just north of that intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Just around the corner from Rio Rancho High School.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right up the street.
Absolutely.
And 9 and 11 in the mornings.
Yes, sir.
Good news. Good news. I want everybody to know that you guys have an interesting concept. Justin Chaplin and Matt Flores and Chris Franklin are co-pastoring the church.
Yeah.
And your wives are doing everything they can do to run all the ministries while you two guys play, three guys play golf.
Yeah. We just play golf all day.
That's not true.
We got to go.
Speaking of that.
Crystal, I want to ask you now. You do have obviously an integral part in the ministry. How important is it for people to have friendships that support your marriage? I know you have friendships here, but
we do,
how important is it for married couples to have friendships?
It's really cool. When I look back in my life, grew up in church, and when I was about in fourth grade, I started going to this church that the staff they were friends. They were truly best friends with each other. And I think that set a pace for me in my expectations. And it was one of those things that I saw how ministry was so much better when you did it with your friends. And our youth pastor, so Matt and I met in high school and started dating in high school, kind of was set up by our youth pastor and his wife. And one of the things that she taught me was make ministry a lifestyle. Don't make it a separated thing in your life. And so to do that, you really, truly have to love doing life with the people that you do ministry with and vice versa. So I would say it's crucial if you're going to sustain being in ministry, because burnout can happen so fast.
And there is something interesting, though. So Deneen was saying that they have three children. But I know a lot of women, when they have children, and men too, they just become isolated with their children. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have time to go do, because they're going to the softball and to the ballet and to volleyball. Right. And it's almost like, oh, well, we're supposed to have a sporting event this Sunday. And, you know, there always becomes all kinds of excuses to, you know, not be at church, not be with worshiping with the people that you should be with. Midweek study gets skipped too. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just seems like everybody gets really busy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one thing that I know. We moved to Albuquerque when my oldest son was 15 months and youngest was not born yet. And I remember thinking there was about 6 months of a little bit of that isolation and not having friends, just being new to the city and stuff. And I remember, you know, there would be days that I'd be like, oh, you know, I'm going to take Gideon to go to the park or do something like that. And Matt, little did I know, he was out and about doing his thing. And he was like, hey, you should call my wife. She needs a friend. And so, like, he was a really good proponent for me in that respect. But then he always says, if you're going to go do something, go do it. You're going to do it anyways. So go do it with somebody else, like invite somebody along. And I think for me, that helped me in my motherhood and in that, that transition in the younger years to just be like, don't do it by yourself. Don't like fight against that isolation. And so if we're going to do, you know, some kind of like play baseball in the park, then let's invite some friends to go along. But that's something I appreciate about the Chaplains and the Franklins is our kids, they play so well together. And so it's kind of one of those things like, hey, let's just hang out together and do these normal things that we need to get done, get them done. There's another couple on staff, or I say staff, we treat them like staff.
I will say one thing, though. Don't get behind these three couples with their families at Chipotle when they're in line for food, because you'll be there for like an hour.
Yes, it is an adventure for sure.
I'm teasing.
Or maybe they should and they could buy it for us.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
But they need to be in front of us so they can pay behind, right? Isn't that how that works?
Oh, there we go. Paying for them.
Yeah.
There you go. There
pay it forward.
Okay, so you mentioned already dating. You mentioned how you got fixed up. How did dating prepare you for marriage?
I would say, so Matt and I, we dated for 5.5 years. There was engagement in there as well, but it was a long time that we dated. But we started dating in high school, so, you know, really marriage isn't feasible in those younger years of your life. And so I think dating for us prepared us in the way of, like, seeing each other through different seasons. And inside of that, I would say we got to do a lot of ministry together. And it was all elective. You know, there was no like, I didn't put these obligations on him in my calling and he didn't do the same for me. And so we truly got to see each other. How do we naturally want to be? You know, how naturally involved do we want to be? And that set the tone for us for sure.
Well, you know, when I start, I want to remind our listeners that I have Justin and Janine Chaplin and Matt and Crystal Flores in studio. They are part of Awakened Church. Matt and Justin are co-pastors there with Chris Franklin. You have to agree that as I ask you questions about being married, Deneen, you are not allowed to make your husband sleep on the couch if you don't like his answers.
I have a couch, Justin.
Yeah, there we go. And you know, I'm joking around about that, obviously, but, you know, one of the things I appreciate about you, you've been on the show 4 or 5 times, is that you guys are open books. There's no shame. There's no covering things up. And that really ministers to a lot of people. And I want people to be encouraged about marriage. But, Justin, I'm going to go right to you about should marriage be fun?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think you should be able to have fun in marriage. I don't think the overall goal of marriage is just fun. Because I think if it's only fun and you lose the fun when there's difficult seasons in life and things like that, then your marriage, the foundation of it's not going to hold up to it. So should you have fun in marriage? Yes, absolutely. Should you plan fun and shoot for those things? Yes. But the overall goal of marriage is not just for fun. I think it's more of a relationship that has to have that truly a solid foundation to keep you going where you can have fun in it. But and just like anything in life, you go through seasons that are hard, that are difficult, that as much as you can try, can't always be fun. So yeah, you should have fun, but I don't think the overall goal for marriage is just to be fun.
I think a year ago, Matt and I were talking about favorite scriptures, and my favorite scripture is Hebrews 12:11. It says that discipline is never pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
And you know, as a workout person, or you know, the seasons where you have to work through difficult things,
yeah.
People always want warm, fuzzy feelings about everything, and that's not reality. Discipline, the Bible says, is never pleasant.
Yep.
But then it says, it yields for those who train by it the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So you actually get back more than you put into it.
That's right.
So I guess I would go next to Justin. Is the daily caring and working on your relationship with Deneen joyful?
Sometimes the daily caring's not, but it produces joy in the long run. Just like you said, the discipline at the time is never pleasant, right? Mm-hmm. But then it produces it. So sitting down and working on these things of saying, what's coming up this week? Where are we at? Anything financially, housework, where are the kids at? What do we have coming up? That produces a joy later on, because then you don't have confusion. You don't have stress. You don't have unmet expectations. And then you're able to have joyful dinners, joyful weeks of knowing, hey, this is what's coming up. We already prepared for it by being disciplined earlier in the week and working on these things. One thing I really appreciate about Deneen is she doesn't hold back a frustration of me, but she doesn't also lay me out with it. So what she'll do is, hey, you said this or you did this. This is what it made me feel. And I'd like to be able to work on this so we don't continually run into it. And she might do it a little bit later through a message, or when we get to, after we put the kids to bed, we'll sit down and talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's not a joyful experience, but it does produce joy later in the week of not repeating the same dumb mistake over and over again, because we had that communication.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Deneen, what do you appreciate about Justin that encourages you every day?
His biceps.
Ah, man, there are so many things I appreciate about him. But I think the thing that I see consistently in Justin that's changed our marriage, it changes our family, is the fact that every single morning Justin gets up and the first thing he does is he makes coffee, and then he sits down and he reads his Bible. And I feel like that consistency every single day is awesome for us. I know every morning the girls get up and they run into the kitchen to go find Dad. And so he really sets the tone for our family as being the spiritual leader. And like unapologetically every single morning, he knows he's going to get out of bed and go do that. And so I think that I appreciate that about him, because that is not my natural inclination. I'm not a morning person, and I have to really constantly be thinking about getting into the Word. It's not my natural habit. But Justin has set that example for all of us, and our kids see it, and so it's easy to want to mimic that behavior.
Okay, here's a tougher question. Is he as attentive to you now as he was when you were dating?
I think it's changed. I think it's changed a lot.
Why you do that?
It's getting hot in here, man.
So if you think about dating, you know, you think about people making these grand gestures, that they're doing the very typical things like flowers, or I'm trying to impress you in those ways. But I feel like it has changed, because the more Justin gets to know me, I think he's changed how he shows his attentiveness to me. So like I said, in dating, maybe there was, you know, bringing you flowers or gifts or things like that. But Justin has since learned that my love language is not gifts. And so he's changed it to be more towards my true love languages, which are acts of service and quality time. And so that's not the way he would prefer to show love, but that's the way he knows that I like to be shown love. And so he's, in the way it has presented itself, it's changed, but I think he's still just as attentive as he was when we were dating.
So I've only met you today, Deneen, and I should have framed this before I ask you the questions. You're being questioned by a man that was married for 27 years, had 5 kids, and whose marriage failed. And it largely failed because of me. I've told you that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do things like date my wife I was always with my family, though. I was not one of these guys that would, you know, go away for the weekend after working all week, you know, on a hunting trip or a golf expedition or something like that. I was always with my family, but I didn't do anything for her. I mean, and I regret that. I would look at you right now and tell you, I don't know why I didn't do that. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. I'm smart enough to know that those are the things I should do. And by the way, it's okay after you get married to give your wife flowers, right, Justin?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not that he wouldn't if he had the chance. Right. I think it's more just, that's just not my, that's just not my, what's the word?
Cup of tea.
That's not my cup of tea. I think I'm, that's not where I like get joy from. And so.
Well, you mentioned, you know, you mentioned, Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. Great book. I think everybody should read it because it does speak to what things your partner does that speak love to you. Mm-hmm. And you said quality time. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine pastoring, having three kids, and Justin spending quality time. That's what I didn't do. I dropped the ball there. So, hey, we've got Justin and Deneen Chaplin, Matt and Crystal Flores in studio with Awaken Church in Rio Rancho. They meet at the McDermott Center at 9 and 11 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. They've got a fantastic group of people, a fellowship that you'll really enjoy. We're going to be back to talk more about marriage right after these messages, so stay with us.
It's back.
It's back.
The Toby Mac Kids Deep Tour 2022.
Oh, Lord,
featuring Toby Mac with special guest Crowder, Kane, Cochran and Company, and Tarion. Friday, February 11th at Rio Rancho Event Center. Tickets available starting September 23rd. Save 20% for a limited time with the offer code INSIDER at AwakeningFoundation.com. Brought to you by Food for the Hungry and Altrua Health Share Ministries, an Awakening Foundation event.
Major credit card companies offer cash rebates to their best customers. But did you know you might be able to cash in on a deal like that even if you don't use a credit card? Hi, this is Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. I saw an interesting ad recently. A merchant was offering a store-wide 3% discount to customers who paid with cash. Why do that? Because that's what credit card companies were charging him on each transaction, and he wanted to pass those savings along to cash customers. A good business practice. I've seen stores tack on a surcharge for using plastic, so it's nice to see one actually offering a cash discount for not using it. The next time you're buying something with cash, ask for a discount. Who knows? You might actually get it. Connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who's been trained to deliver financial advice that aligns with your Christian values by visiting our website, moneywise.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Justin Deneen, Crystal, and Matt in studio with me. Thank you guys for being here. Awaken Church started just about a year ago, Matt?
Yeah, a little over a year ago, August 2nd, 2020.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the craziness, or as we say, the normalness.
Yeah.
It's normal to us, but other churches, I guess, you know, they look at it like, oh, no, we're like, well, this is kind of what we do.
Yeah, if you chose the season of COVID to start a church and you're still growing and blowing, that's good stuff.
Hey, yeah, it's all glory to God for that one.
Yeah, amen. Matt, what's a successful marriage biblically?
Successful marriage biblically is, for me, what I tell people in premarital counseling, in the middle of marital counseling, whatever, is if the couple can find a way to serve each other better than they did the day before. And serving may look something like hands-on, like, you know, like a love language, something like that, acts of service or things like that. But I think a successful marriage, biblical marriage, is listening to the needs and then responding before that person even has a chance to ask you. I think that's what wins my heart over. And I think about my relationship with Christ. Obviously he set the model for marriage, set the model of how he loves the church. And I think of like Romans 5:8, but while we were yet sinners, Christ came to die for us. And I think if I apply that to marriage, it's, while we were yet at odds, I still went in and loved her well and served her and asked for forgiveness or clarified the win or whatever it might be. I think that's, if you can do that, I think that's going to set you up for success in remembering, number one, it's not about you. If you can do that, it's not about you. To me, I treat it as a game. I think like these little points in my head, like, oh, you did the dishes for her before she asked. 1,000,000 points. You vacuumed. 2,000,000. You scrubbed the toilets. Jackpot.
But the truth is that you're not keeping score.
No.
You just are discerning what Crystal needs.
Yeah.
And you're meeting those needs.
Yeah. I guess one way to look at it, if I was keeping score, it's what would the old Matt before Christ, what would his score be? And what is the Matt in Christ? What is his score for loving his wife? Because that's how I calculated in my brain.
Crystal, do you pray for your marriage?
Oops. All the time. Sorry. Okay. My husband's being goofy. Yes. I think if our marriage would not be where it is, not just because of my prayer life, but the prayer life that we have together. But yes, every minute of every day, especially in conflict, I am for sure leaning into prayer.
I have seen women get together and probably men too, but I have one particular event in my mind right now where I had several women that I knew were Christians. They were meeting at the church and having coffee together, and I'm sitting, 2 feet away from them, so I can't help but eavesdrop, and I'm hearing them bashing their husbands. I didn't hear any language. So this is not on our little list of questions, but if you're talking to Deneen about Matt, is there a godly way to have that conversation and one that's not
good
so
question.
Godly?
I was afraid you were going to go there with that. And Deneen and I actually had this conversation what day?
Monday.
So there's a few of us that we're kind of test piloting a marriage study for women. And it's very fascinating, but that was something that Deneen and I and one of the other women, we actually talked about. And as we're like discussing this, we were like, well, we don't want to be there. We don't want to, we know that we have different roots of bitterness and hurt. And that it's just there's contention sometimes inside of our marriage because we're too we're two broken people trying to do something that's so perfect. And we were talking and I just said, we need to be surrounded by women that are for our marriage ultimately, for the success of our marriage, for the sanctity of our marriage. And that was one of the points that we talked about is marriage is sanctifying. And so looking at it, if we are sitting there only giving, you're justified in whatever bashing you want to do of your husband, that's not sanctifying and it's not pleasing to the Lord. And so it's always coming back to, hey, I will listen, but then it's also, Deneen, this is how like we can be better together. But you can be better for your husband ultimately because that pleases him the most.
So Matt, where are men dropping the ball when it comes to marriage?
Accountability, I think, with other men. I think in my brain, I've chalked it up as I have the right way of doing it. So when it comes to my marriage, like it's a great thing and a healthy thing to be checking on each other. Man, how are you doing serving your wife? How are you doing? And this may even seem like a sweaty question, but it's like, how are you doing intimately with your wife? Not that we need to know details or anything, but like, are you pursuing her? Like not just in bed, but out of bed, because like one of our friends would always say, if you want a bonfire at night, start the pilot in the morning.
Yeah.
Right. And then that's a big part. But I think that accountability piece, so many people have it mistaken as going, I'm going to sit around and wait for Jim to ask me a question. That's not accountability. That's like a financial planner kind of person. Oh, here's where you're going wrong. Accountability is me coming to the table and saying, Jim, here's how I treated my wife yesterday. Man, I need your counsel. I need your guidance. Here's what I did the other day. Or man, can you just celebrate with me that God worked this in me where I changed my attitude and I actually asked for forgiveness because I was a knucklehead. But I think the point in where men drop the ball, and it's true for women as well, because they're both human, is we make it about ourselves so quickly.
Absolutely.
Like I didn't get my way and I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you did that. And then we get all flustered and frustrated over an unset expectation. Because expectations usually serve us the most. So that's where I would say we're failing.
And I would like to add on, I agree with you 100% that it's, the accountability is because our heart, we're sinfully, we want to be about ourselves. We're very selfish people, right? Especially in today's world, everything's poured into you. Oh, it's self-care. It's about you. Do this, do that. But then in marriage, it really is about, like, Christ laid down his life for the church, right? And we do the same exact example. Like, as a husband, my job is to imitate him in the same way, right? Lead my wife as Christ led the church. Well, that's a way of sacrifice, of dying for these certain things. And everybody's so selfish, or can be so selfish, that what you said earlier about keeping score almost of doing things, and you don't remember these. It's not like, oh, well, I did 100 points worth of stuff and she only did 50 and that can build it. She's going, no, like, I did that to serve her, and she does other stuff to serve, but no, I didn't do it to just build more points and to win the game. I did it because that's what Christ did for us, of laying down his life and continually sacrificing. But we don't live in a world that really likes to sacrifice. It's a world that likes to consume and take more than to give out and to lay down for.
So. I'm trying to listen intently, not, and you guys are saying a lot, so it's hard for me to pick out one thing, but I'm going to talk about a practical thing right now. And Matt and Justin, here's an example, and I'm picking on men. I just am.
Sure. Let's pick on them.
Yeah. I are one of those, so I get a chance to pick on them. And I've already, you know, shared my own faults and shortcomings in this area. If your wife knows you're blowing it in some way, Justin, what should she do with the church to bring you back into where you need to be in a healthy relationship with Jesus? And I don't know what that would be. Maybe it would be, maybe it would be a substance abuse issue. Maybe it would be an obsession with working out. Maybe I should have pointed at Matt when I did that. I'm just teasing.
I don't have a problem.
I guess I'm just asking, okay, there's a lot of women out there right now that are listening to this and going, oh, I wish I had a marriage like them, but my husband is into this and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
What should they do?
I think you go back. Matthew 18 says you go first to the person, right? So I think the husband and the wife have to have a sit down first. Because I think it's almost disrespectful or undercutting to the partner in the relationship if you start going to the others in the church before you go directly to them. So I think it has to be, you have to have the relationship built a little bit to be sit down and say, hey, I believe this is a problem. I think it's hurting our family. It's hurting our relationship in these ways. And I think we need to address it. And then if at that point there's not a response, then I think that's where you start going into these groups like Deneen and Crystal are in, or those close ones, and saying, hey, this is the issue I'm having with my husband. I'm not trying to gossip. I've taken it to him first. But I really need support in this. I really need wisdom in this. Letting them come around and then going back to me. And I think one thing I've seen modeled is it's always we can call each other out. But you have to be listening. So Matt says, hey, man, I noticed that you and Deneen haven't been talking as much. You're doing something else. What are you doing? What's going on? And he has the right to question me in that. And I think that's built into a lot of relationships around the church, is that openness. But I really believe it has to start one-on-one, and then it has to go to that next group, which for us would be their discipleship groups, community groups, the leadership groups, and then kind of take it from there. But you have to be accountable to these things and open to discipline. We go back to that too, saying, hey, you're not loving your wife well. And so me loving you is going to come alongside and shake you until you can figure out how to love your wife well. So, cause that'll help your family and then in turn help the church, cause unhealthy relationships that we have will lead to an unhealthy church. So it has to start at the center there.
Justin, what do you appreciate about Deneen that you should tell her every day?
Oh man. There's so many things. She always is looking for the long game for our family, of saying, hey, you got to watch how you say, even if it's joking, that you got to watch how you talk to our girls, because girls are very sensitive and they remember these things. So she's always looking for this long term about how a dad's relationship with his daughters and things. And she's very good about that. But recently, I mean, even in starting the church, I left a full-time job, and she's an amazingly smart, intelligent woman. And so she works at the hospital, and she picked up an extra day so that we can move our insurance over and have health insurance. And it would help kind of bridge the gap in where we were from the last job to this one. And she sacrifices that time away from the family so that our family still has the needs to continue on. And then she not only stops there, she invests in other women in the church. She has a group, a discipleship group with four other women that she pours into, and she really puts her heart into it and prays for them, is concerned for them. I just appreciate that that she looks at our family, but then she looks at the church family and the whole thing. And she's loving and caring, and her actions show that too. So appreciate that greatly about her.
Yeah. Deneen, how about you? Should you tell Justin something every day that you don't now?
Absolutely. I think sometimes women, we tend to point out the flaws in our husband, but I feel like I try. At least
you do like his biceps though, right?
I do like his biceps. It's also, you know, the quads, the legs.
I'm envious of his calves.
No, I just appreciate the fact that Justin is, he's teachable and I think Justin is always looking at ways to grow. He's always looking at how he can grow in his faith. And I just appreciate the fact that he is always, seeing how he can better himself, better us. And I just feel inspired by the way he leads. And so.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Justin and Deneen Chaplin are in studio with Matt and Crystal Flores. They are part of Awakened Church in Rio Rancho. They're meeting at the McDermott Center. What's that? I always forget the I know Mac. Northern.
Oh,
Northern.
Sorry.
What's the other one? Loma.
Loma, Colorado.
Loma, Colorado. So. Yeah. The intersection of Northern and Loma, Colorado, just drive north. You go around a curve just a little bit, maybe 200 yards, and the Mac's right on your right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a senior assisted living center right there, and then it's the Mac, and then on the other side is the library.
The library, and then around the corner is Rio Rancho High School. Yep. So that just gives everybody a perspective. You're now meeting at 9 and 11 a.m. in the morning on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Good give stuff. The afternoon to go do ministry and life with people.
And you need to let us know about if a midweek starts, and because I know you're not just meeting for church. You have a real community, and we'll be back on ABQ Connect to talk more about that. Stay with us.
Joel Rosenberg has his finger on the pulse of the epicenter of world events. Joel lives in Jerusalem and has access to discussions with princes, prime ministers, and presidents. He will be speaking at Calvary Church Wednesday night, September 22nd.
It's interesting to hear a now former prime minister explaining why is apocalyptic Islam so much different and so much more dangerous than what most people think of when they think of radical Islam. So all of that is in this new book, and I hope it's helpful, because I think a lot of Christians, they know they ought to know more about the Middle East than they do, but it's a complicated puzzle to put together.
You need to hear what Joel has to say about turbulent current events. Joel has met recently with the former Prime Minister of Israel, talked with sources such as Mike Pompeo, and released a new nonfiction book about the Middle East. Do not miss what he has to say, Wednesday at Calvary.
Hi, I'm John Erickson Tata. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells us to go out quickly into the streets and alleys to bring in the disabled and blind into the house of God. And through Johnny and Friends New Mexico, we're doing exactly that. Our family retreats bring entire families impacted by disability closer to each other and closer to Christ. Our warrior getaways are specifically designed to bring healing and hope to wounded combat veterans struggling with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. And through Wheels for the World, Johnny and Friends New Mexico is delivering wheelchairs and Bibles to children and adults suffering under the strain of disability and poverty down in Peru. All our programs and outreach events share the gospel with those who need it most. God can use you to fill his house too. Just go to johnnyandfriends.org/New Mexico today and find out how you can share the hope of Jesus with special needs families in your community. Again, that's johnnyandfriends.org/New Mexico.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Justin and Deneen Chaplin with Matt and Crystal Flores in studio with us. They're part of Awakened Church. Justin, Matt, and Chris founded the church and are co-pastoring, and we might ask you in a minute a little bit about your roles as co-pastors, but I think it's really a cool idea. It's unique, and your church has been around a little bit over a year, growing, and you've already moved from... Are you mad that you had to move from the CrossFit Center, Matt?
No, the Lord always provides. There's a CrossFit gym in the Mac as well.
Ah,
there's still the connection.
And someday, if the Lord blesses us, there'll be a CrossFit gym in the church.
Is there going to be like a penance procedure where you have to go through so many CrossFit workouts if somebody's busted doing something wrong?
Yeah, I mean, we're starting a partnership class this weekend, so we might, you know, ask people to demonstrate their squat movement or something.
Oh, there you go.
50 burpee buy-in just to get to the class.
Yeah, I like that.
50 burpee buy-in.
No, thank you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I did 40 burpees yesterday, and that was terrible.
Did you really?
Yeah.
This guy is torturing you.
Crystal?
He actually wasn't even there.
I wasn't even there. But look at it. You brought up the Hebrews passage early. You know, that's the discipline that you need right there. Sometimes life knocks you down, but you just got to get back up. Put that in your quotes.
And we know that working out and stuff is not easy. Deneen, I want you to tell me what the hard part is about being married.
I think there's conflict in marriage. There's always conflict in marriage. I used to feel that a healthy marriage was the absence of conflict, and that's just not true. I think you have to be fighting towards something. It's just learning to not fight with each other and to fight for resolution. I think also, at least for us, we came from two very different family styles. And so having to merge that, and sometimes it's big things and how you budget or how you parent, things like that. But even down to little things, when we were first married, I shouldn't even say when we were first married, up until a week ago, I feel like we're always bickering over how to fold the towels. Like, there's little bits of conflict within marriage, and it makes it kind of fun. But learning to fight for each other than against each other.
So is there a resolve on the folding towel thing?
He folds them wrong, as you know.
There's a right way, and then there's Deneen's way to fold towels.
And I think I'm on Deneen's side. I think the Floreses are on Deneen's side because she sent me videos before of, okay, is this way or that way? And she would not tell me who was who. And I'm like, oh, it's totally this way. And she's like, yes.
It's how you, they I'm pleading the fifth, Justin.
I know nothing.
Hey, you guys are going to laugh at this, but I believe what they're talking about is actually more important than you think. I mean, those little
for sure.
things can divide people.
Mm-hmm.
I went to, you guys are familiar with the Young Life Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
They minister on campuses all across this country, on high school campuses primarily. I went to Young Life Camp, and that's where I told Jesus that I loved him and I wanted him to take control of my life. And at Young Life Camp, they taught us how to fold our towels. And it wasn't a military thing. They just said, look, at the end of the week, this is how you fold your towel. And they wanted the towel stack so that the fold is all on one side. And they look really nice and sharp.
Mm-hmm.
So now,
like Bed Bath & Beyond.
That is how I fold the towels.
Yep.
And I expect my children and everybody to fold the towels. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you this. So I did most of the laundry when I was married. And the reason I did is because I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. And besides drinking coffee and praying and reading your Bible, there's not a lot other to do. So I'd start laundry. I could do two loads of laundry before anybody in the house ever woke up. And we had this big island in our, utility room.
Okay.
And I would stack clothes. So I would take all your shorts and I'd put them here, all your underwear here. All your and then I would stack those on top of each other. And I told my kids, and I'm okay, you're seeing my OCD now. That my kids would come in and grab a pair of shorts and mess up the pile. And I said, wait a minute. I want you to pick up your T-shirts off the top of the shorts, take a pair of shorts, and then put back on
the stack. That's extra work. I'm sorry. I can't do that.
I just have – and I never was successful accomplishing that.
I'm with you.
Yeah. But you have to come to some agreement. You have to talk about things. You have to get this kind of stuff going. Matt, let's go to you. Have you ever had to humble yourself to Crystal and apologize in any situation?
This past week, I was not listening well. What I mean by listening is hearing her heart, not just hearing words, like why she was saying something. So I was in my office doing biblical pastoral things and not paying attention to my wife. And that was the thing for me is she was saying something that was in like really particular to her heart. And I heard words and I just dismissed it. But when I didn't take action to move towards her heart, I think that's when it became really the trouble. Sometimes what she heard from me and what she saw for me is you just want your way. You don't really care what I have to say. And if you don't listen, think about what that really communicates. And what it communicated to her is that I don't care for you. You're pretty much saying I don't love you enough to take time out of my day to understand your heart and your passion. So in my discipleship group, that's the challenge I issued myself, knowing my stupidity, to sit down with my wife, 10 minutes a day and no phone, no anything. And some people are like, I do that every day. Okay. Congratulations. I didn't. And then we're a lot of years into our marriage, 6, 7, 8, how do math? 2008 today.
13.
The most math I ever had to do.
Okay, just so you know, that may be a sleeping on the couch offense.
No, 6, 7, 8. I can remember the day.
No,
I just got
6, 7, 8 is our anniversary.
If he remembers the anniversary date, he's safe.
See, I'm like Deneen. I was looking way into the future saying, what is going to help me memorize this the best? And I had to do sequential numbering. But I think back to it, listening. I know that my wife is hurt. when I don't pay attention and ask more questions, when it's very short and very choppy, when it's very maybe demeaning even at that sense. So that's where I had to
Isn't a man's job or your vocation more important than your wife?
Absolutely not. Yeah. Yeah, because it's I love Jesus and Jesus loves me, and out of that he has given me my first ministry, which is my wife and my kids, and then I serve and equip. Because if I can't, like one of the qualifications in scripture, if I don't have a household that's run in a godly way, how in the world am I ever supposed to lead a group of people who don't live with me every day, don't share meals with me every day, and don't sleep in my same house? How can I lead them if I can't lead my bride and my little minions well?
Yeah. I'm thinking, Crystal, as I form this question, I am in no way making an age comment about Crystal Flores, okay?
That's okay.
She's 22.
Yeah, for the rest of her life, she's 22.
Forever.
That's right. I've been 25 for how many years now? 40?
I'm just 13.
Crystal, I'm thinking in my mind, and I'm not sure this is true in our culture, it doesn't seem like there are more mature women mentoring younger women. And that's important, isn't it?
Uh-oh.
It's so important. I've had amazing older women in my life by age, and I've had older women in maturity that because of their life experiences. And I value each of those relationships so much. And I think about in Titus how he just encourages. He's like, older women, you need to be pouring into those younger women. And I think that the Lord has just, he's been positioning me in some amazing ways to see how that's modeled throughout my life. And thinking like my mom is one of my best friends. And I think she would even say like whenever I was in high school, we were not friends. And she never took that approach whenever I was in her house. But as soon as I graduated and moved on, like we became friends. Mm-hmm. And I just think about some other women in my life that they truly pour into me. And they're safe places for me to come to. I heard a song recently, and I told Matt this, and I've told a couple other people. There's a song, and in the chorus it says, "What if grace made it safe for us to tell the truth?" And I just think about the women that I look up to. It's because number one, they have a lot of wisdom because either they learn by experience or they learn by other women, and through their wisdom. And then they make it a safe place for me to be honest. And then they also spur me on to be better, not only in, sanctifying myself and my side of my marriage, but also in my relationship with Christ or just the everyday struggles that I have. They're amazing at pointing those things out. And I've been studying a lot about blind spots. And, we all have blind spots. And inside of that, it's what does Crystal not see about herself? And that's when I get to take advantage of those relationships and say, okay, older woman, or by experience, older woman, what do you see that I need to see that maybe I'm not seeing at the time? And help me to play this out. What is it going to look like in 5 years, 10 years, if I continue down this path?
One question related to what you just said. There are people that will do self-evaluation, and I'm going to say they self-judge, and they have no hope because of it. Mm. It's different being a Christian woman.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think about Romans, you just said that, and I think Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? And so why do I need to sit there? The blood that Jesus spilled paid for my sin. Paid for all of my brokenness. And so how can I not spit on that gift, but how can I truly accept it and use it to give him glory and give him honor? And then I get to do it with other people. I love 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, to pursue righteousness, faith, and love with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And you need to be running alongside those people. And it's just, how am I doing that, right? Whenever I collectively come alongside other people that are further in their journey, beside me in my journey, and behind me, you know, in life experiences, that gives God glory and it gives him honor because we get to learn from each other. I tell women a lot of times that we learn one of two ways. We learn by wisdom that we get from experience, which is the worst teacher. It's the best teacher, but it's the worst teacher. Or we get wisdom from other people. And so it's smart to sit at other people's feet and truly just be able to listen to them.
Can I ask you a question? And Deneen over there. If you're talking to older women and it's just like unadulterated truth and grace, here we are. How would you encourage older women to get plugged into? Because I feel like at Awaken, we have a lot of younger women that are looking for that mentorship and that, hey, I just want someone to listen. And you said Romans 8:1. What would you tell them? Like, what would you tell them? You're up, Deneen.
For older women, asking?
Yeah. Well, like, be
like,
honest.
How do you spur those older women on to take on those roles?
Or maybe how you spur, and then what do they need to know walking into these relationships?
I want to know how you get a Gen Z-er or a Gen X-er to pay attention. No, really. I really do.
Yeah, that's a good question.
So, hey, we're going to address this topic when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back with Team Awaken Church. Stay with us.
As you listen to The Light on KLYT, here's a reminder. It's the support given by businesses like Dom Garcia Realty that make this programming possible. We'd like to thank Dom Garcia Realty for supporting Reaching New Mexico with world-class Bible teaching. Dom Garcia Realty supports KLYT and hopes that you will too. Thanks, Dom Garcia Realty, a full-service brokerage assisting buyers and sellers since 1977. Dom Garcia Realty, 505-899-4644.
We are commanded not just to see people saved, but to make disciples, teaching them to observe all things Jesus commanded. Our Shepherd School does this at an exceedingly high level. It is a mentorship program for men to be trained in apologetics, theology, character, prophecy, Bible study, preaching, practical ministry, leadership, and more. This opportunity comes only once every 2 years. Find out more and receive an application at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Toby Mac Hits Deep Tour coming to the Rio Rancho Event Center on Friday, February 11th. Today's code word is DEEP. Text it now to 585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Winners will be selected at random on Friday, September 24th.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back on ABQ Connect with Team Awaken Church, Pastor Justin and Pastor Matt, along with their wives, Deneen and Crystal. What a blessing this has been to have you here. I'm going to rephrase what Matt just said about before the break, and I'm going to say it this way. I'm sure that Crystal and Deneen, you see younger women, and they've been through stuff or they're getting hurt, and you've already experienced that, and you'd love to save them some heartache. How do you get them involved in a mentoring kind of relationship?
I feel like there's so many girls who are actually really hungry for that. I think they're really craving it. And I think we look a lot to thinking that just going to a weekend service is where you get fed. But I think there is the value of being discipled. And I think older women may not think that they have anything to offer younger women, that maybe they're out of that season of life. Or they, like me, I kind of take a back seat to Justin where I feel like, oh, he has so much more biblical knowledge than I do. He can totally lead. He can teach better than I would. But I feel like our perspective is valuable to teach other younger women and be able to interpret what we're taught and what we see in scripture and be able to pour out that wisdom to younger girls. And so I think taking away the insecurity of I have nothing to offer. And knowing that God says that, you know, we're all different parts of the church. We all have a different role. And so whether you're an older woman who's been through all these seasons of life ahead of us, you have something to offer. And even if you're a younger woman, you can pour into girls that are younger than you. There's just, we all have our seasons and you have wisdom that you've gained from those earlier seasons in your life.
Crystal, are you discipling some women now?
I am. I have three women that I have such a fun time with. But getting to your question, I think when I'm sitting in the seat of being the older woman, mm-hmm. I have to take the approach of authenticity and vulnerability, because there's so many people. I think back to when I was younger, I thought, and this is pride talking, but I thought if I showed an insecurity or if I showed some deficiency that I had in my life, that that made me less than, rather than just breaking down that wall of pride. And so if I, as the mentor, can break down that wall and say, hey, this is where I've been, this is where I am, and open up that line of communication for, again, what if grace could make it safe for us to tell the truth? I have to set that pace. Mm-hmm. And then inside of that, I am 99.9% sure that I will get that in reciprocation back. And that will allow me to speak truth into them.
And that's the tone that we try to set in discipleship groups, right?
Absolutely.
Is I think, and that's what you taught us too, is that if you're in a discipleship group, you need to set the tone right away of being vulnerable and saying what your struggles are. And I'm asking for accountability here too. And so if you kind of set the stage for that, then that gives other people permission to open up.
I love it. Justin and Matt, here's a question for you. Knowing what you know now, your experience in being married, Justin, you go first. How would you change your preparation to be married?
Preparation to be married.
Are there things that you wish you would have talked about before you got married?
I think we were a little bit blessed in this. We were talking about it earlier, where there was a few things that I feel like we got to experience before marriage that we still are seeing the fruit from. One of them is like when we did our premarital counseling, like it was a 6-7 weeks. It went very in depth. And it really, I think, set us up to be able to talk about that before we got married. So I'm not looking back going, man, I wish I would have talked about this, because I feel like a lot of that we did talk about. Through a really kind of intense premarital that the guy that was doing it, I believe, cared about our marriage. So he asked hard questions. He made us have hard conversations in it. And so that really paid off for us today, and it's still paying off. I was also able to get into a group, I guess just by God's grace, where I was kind of a discipleship group and I was single at the time we were dating, but they put me in a married guys group before I was married. And I learned so much from listening to the things that they were talking about in their wives, the things that worked and the things that didn't. So like, I think even today, I'm like, I remember what so-and-so said, I definitely don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I guess looking back on the things I would still do is, we went through a season of preparation and then we got married. We didn't work or invest in our marriage as much, especially when we had young kids or when our first daughter came. We got so busy that we stopped kind of checking in on the marriage and the relationship. And then we came out of it and kind of started doing that again. And it feels like we're in a different spot of a relationship. So we went through like a little lull in it because we weren't focusing on it. We weren't talking about it. So I go back and encourage people to really stay intentional on those. Matt said the accountability, like it's not just a once a year thing, but it's like, all right, this month, how's my relationship doing? What do we need to work on? What's the next big life event coming up? What's the last failure we had and how can we avoid that again?
Yeah.
So I can't think of just one, because I feel like God did bless us in that, in a way of kind of setting us up for success in the marriage.
Matt, how about you? You know a lot more than you did before you got married. How would you have prepared differently?
I don't know if I know a lot more than I did before, but I put into action a lot more now. I think being able to ask, I think a healthy thing inside, like Justin's talked about premarital, is talk about every single expectation you have. Like as many as you can put out there on the table, as wild and crazy as they are.
Folding towels.
Which we know which one's right. But like making dinner, being intimate with each other. What does it look like for vacations? What does it look like spending time with family? Like talk about anything and everything, because once you get married, there's no magical fairy dust that makes you all better. And there's no one who, unless they are very intentional, come alongside you and say, hey, did you read up on chapter 3 of marriage? And you're like, wait, you have a book for this? And I think the big thing, what I would go back and do is just begin asking a lot more questions, even if it made me sweaty and uncomfortable, or, man, even like Denise said, maybe cause a little bit of conflict. I think we often can view conflict as a bad thing, but it's not. It can be viewed as a building block, like a slab of marble has to get cut away to form to its best self. And I think that's a big part. And then, I think for myself, it's just like Nike said, just do it. Whatever's going to honor her and honor the Lord, do it. Stop whining. Stop thinking oh, me, oh, my, she doesn't serve. Like, you sign up to die in marriage. And if you can't think that way, man, go do something else. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Crystal, you said something earlier in the interview that you need to be around people that are for your marriage.
Yes, for sure. I think earlier on in our relationship, we had a lot of people around us, and we've always had that camaraderie around us. And I think that's fortified us in a whole lot of ways that I don't even recognize still to this day. But thinking back to our youth pastor and his wife, they didn't have any children at the time. And they were kind of the ones that set us up together. And just seeing how they would walk alongside us in just the everyday. And they let us come into their homes and into their home, and they would just make dinner, and they would let us see their everyday conversations, and we would hear their intentionality of, you know, how they're pursuing each other and how they messed up, and just the ways that they're gonna do better, and just their communication as a whole, I think, was huge in preparing me for our marriage. But then also, I think looking back and kind of answering that is like, we did all the premarital classes, but we were so young, and I think we had been dating for so long that it was like, oh, we kind of know it, right? I was in the prideful side of things and just saying like, oh, you know, I've known him for 5.5 years. I know how he puts the cups in the cupboard, and I know how he folds his towels, and I know how he does these things. And so, you know, we're the exception to the rule. And, then I learned very quickly that that was not the case.
That he is not the exception to the rule.
No.
Yeah,
that
that's
I am not the exception to the rule. And so it's, I think looking back, if I could do things differently, I would definitely leaning into more very specific preparation and asking people very specifically, like, ask me the hard questions because I have blind spots. And my way is not the only way.
Yeah. This isn't going to be very romantic, but I'm a retired banker. So, Deneen, I'm aiming at you now. I told a pastor at one time that I thought you had to start premarital counseling by pulling a credit report on each individual. Not because you can't marry somebody with bad credit, but you ought to know.
Yeah.
You definitely ought to know. And everybody looks at me like, wow, that's like as anti-romantic as you can possibly.
I'll bring up their bank statement and just lay it in front of each other.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I think Jesus says something about that, doesn't he?
Deneen, what would you do differently in preparing for marriage? We've got about 2 minutes left.
In preparing for marriage, I think for me, enjoying the season of dating. I think Christian girls have this idea in their mind that their whole goal in life is to get married and have babies, and they just have this perfect idea, almost like the American dream. But in preparing for marriage, there's this sweet period of dating and engagement where you don't have the pressure of marriage. You don't have the responsibilities in marriage, and you can grow together through that dating season and learn to pray together without all these different stressors. And so I think for me, I felt that urge to constantly be at the next step, do the next thing. Like Justin said, looking forward to the future. It can be a strength, but it can also be a weakness for me. And so to enjoy the dating season.
Yeah, have some fun with that. Okay, this applies to me, and you don't have this experience, but what do you say to people that have been married, divorced, and been single for a long time? A lot of the things you talk about with dating, does it apply to us as well?
Yes, it applies to everybody, and there's a big concept overall of forgiveness, right? And there's things that when you mess up in a marriage, you'll be quick to forgive. When you mess up in dating, you'll be quick to forgive. And even in being single, you got to be enjoying that season, because just like, I mean, Paul says it, that you should be content in the season you're in and really honor the Lord and glorify the Lord in whatever season or situation you find yourself in.
Amen. Justin and Deneen Chaplin, Matt and Crystal Flores, thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. We're blessed.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.